What's happening, people? You're tuning in to Music and Motivation with Chris Davis. This is episode number 169, and I got a sweet, awesome guest for y'all today. My man, Adam J. Feather, is going to join me here in just a second. But first, we want to promo some of his stuff. He's got an awesome new album coming out, and this is one of the awesome tracks off it. So I hope you enjoy. Go check out Adam J. Feather on all social media and stuff, and enjoy his music, man. Here we go. Park and Ride. Feather, and that was called Park and Ride. Dude, Dude, thank you again for being here, my man.
Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure and a joy to have you. Dude, we were alluding to this new album. What's the title of this new album?
It's kind of funny. It's called Bird Leaves.
Okay.
Bird Leaves. Yeah. Because what are bird leaves?
Feathers.
Feathers.
That's right.
That's right.
I dig it, dude.
All about the puns.
And then
here.
Artist name. What's the official artist name you're going under?
It's just going to be my name. Adam J. Feather. No period with the J. Stylized, of course. You know, it's just a little different.
That's tight, dude. Yeah. I'm excited. And actually, off of that last track, dude, I'm getting lots of, like, chilling on vacation vibes. Like, I could listen to that at the lake all night long. You know what I'm saying?
So, dude, I'm glad. I'm glad that you're enjoying it, man, because there's a lot of vacation vibes, chill vibes, and stuff like that on this album. It's a mix, 7 songs, 4 songs with vocals, and then 3 instrumentals.
Sweet.
And all the instrumentals are laid back like that, super chill, hanging out, whatever. And then all of the songs with vocals are kind of love songs, you know. So, not. There's one that could be maybe a sad love song, but the rest of them are kind of like happy, upbeat, like in love songs,
nice.
Type of thing,
nice.
You know. So that's kind of what I was going for, at least with it, because everybody loves love, right?
Right.
Like that's
what's not the love about love, you know?
Right.
So, real quick, we're at the top of the show. We got everybody's attention as much as we're going to have them. I want you to let them know everywhere they can find your music, find Adam J. Feather. Where can they find you, buddy?
So the album is going to be going live midnight, August 16th. So, you know, the end of the day, 15th, early 16th morning. And that's going to be Central Time. So around the world, it might be a little bit different based on your time zone. But the main thing that we're going through is going to be Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer, basically every music source that you can find or think of, except for YouTube. They have a little bit of a strange, like, copyright law situation with their content ID, I believe.
Right.
And they're still working out some kinks in that. It's kind of like not a fully fledged version of it. So we're staying off of
YouTube
music
for the moment.
For the moment. Yes. As I start producing more and actually start putting out music videos, we will go to YouTube for the music videos.
Tremendous. Tremendous. That's what I like to hear. But honestly, the stay away from YouTube does nothing but keep your stuff more independent and keep the money in your pocket. So
yes.
I'm all for that too, buddy. Also wanted to say, guys, that you can find Adam at his website and all of his stuff there. What's your website?
Yes, again? Also website adamjfeather.com.
It's easy, guys. Come on now.
Yep. I got the licensing on that one.
That's tremendous.
Luckily, you know.
That's awesome.
But also Facebook, same, Adam J. Feather. Instagram, Adam J. Feather. Twitter, Adam J. Feather. It's all the same.
Okay. But if you want to listen to his music, go to Spotify, man. Spotify, Apple Music, that's what's going to help him out the most. So, Adam, bro, guitar tone for days, am I right?
Yeah, and on that track in particular, Park and Ride, if you are a guitar aficionado, that is straight in, plug straight into the amp, and no effects.
No effect chain at all.
Nothing. No,
sweet.
That's just Mesa,
that's
Boogie and Les
baby.
Paul.
Yeah.
That's it.
Tone monster, bro.
Yeah, man. And obviously, I adjusted my Mesa Boogie tone to to get that sound, but like it's as raw as you can get, you know, and that's what I kind of wanted. And even the clean guitar is straight into the Mesa Boogie, no effects at all, and the bass as well. Although I didn't use a Mesa Boogie, I used a Fender Rumble or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know, whatever we have in our home studio.
That's cool. We got a Rumble 75, and that's a sweet amp.
Yeah.
It's good backup if we ever don't want to bring the crate cab out, which is like the heaviest piece of equipment I've ever fucking bought. What is it with bass? It's the speakers. It's the magnets in the speakers
huge.
That make them so fucking heavy. Yeah. But bass cabinets, bass speakers are like the worst thing to lug around. I don't know what
it
is. Dude.
It's not fun. It's not fun.
So if we ever feel like not bringing that to the show, we'll bring the Rumble.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rumble is great, you know. Yeah, I think it's more of an it's not analog. I'm pretty sure it's digital.
Yeah.
Amp, but great tone, great sound. And it has built-in distortion, which you don't find in a lot of bass amps.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, kind of the best of all of the worlds.
So solid state is would you say solid state is the same as digital in your mind?
Yeah. Sorry, it is solid state.
No, cool. I'm clarifying for myself, okay? Just because. And then analog, you're referring to as tube, right?
Yes.
Maybe a tube amp. I am trying to get my first tube amp. So, real quick on the podcast, guys. Anybody who's not a guitar player has tuned out by this point. So maybe we should save this for the end. Adam, I can talk guitar shit with you all the time.
All day.
You're awesome.
All day.
That's
hey.
Paul, man, just like myself. We talked a lot about your history last time, so I really wanted to just go into this album and making you relatable and like to my audience and make them want to go check out, which you guys should, because this dude is like one of my favorite musicians I've ever met. That's how relatable he is to me. So inspiration for this album, what got you making this one?
So this one in particular, I've been working on for a long time, actually. The second track on the song or on the album, I've actually been holding on to for 10 years. I think I've had it in the bank, but I've always wanted. I didn't want it to release it until I got it how I wanted
Perfect.
It. You
yeah.
know, and that's always the trick with a musician. Every musician out there is probably. Ever
a perfectionist, right?
Yeah, you're like, man, I don't there's another thing I could do to it. There's always another thing. You're mixing it, you're writing it, you're recording it on your iPhone, or you're mixing it in Pro Tools, or you're composing it in Finale, or you're putting it into, you know, like Fruity Loops or anything. Doesn't matter if you're a guitar player or a drummer or a rap producer or a rapper or anything. You know, it's always like, hey, I could go in here and do something else.
It
like,
could be better, dude. It
yes.
could be better. What am I not doing?
Yeah, and so that's the mark of a true artist, really. But the hardest part for every artist out there that I've heard and that I've talked to is saying uncle.
This is it.
You know, giving up. Hey, not giving up, but saying uncle, you know, and saying like, "Hey, look, I don't need to do anything else. It sounds fine. I'm just nitpicking because it's my material." Like, for example, if you were to go and listen to something by Nas, you'd be like, man, this is phenomenal. And then if Nas listened to it, he'd be like, well, I didn't enunciate that right, and I didn't do
Me
this.
Too.
This is off.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm right there with you.
You know, it's every artist, you know. And so, like, you have to kind of take yourself out of the mindset of this is mine and take a step back, you know. And say, all right, well, what are the listeners listening for? What are they doing? And as long as you're producing the music for everybody and not just like, okay, only, you know, virtuoso guitarists should be listening to this record, then most of your audience is not going to notice the little details that you're like, oh, man, I could totally have picked that note better or whatever,
right.
You know. And so It's a tricky thing to do as an artist to dissociate almost while listening to your own music, because it's like your baby, you know. It's like it's literally like if you have a child, you know, you're like, that's my kid, you know. that's what the music is for.
And you don't
for
want
a lot
people
of us.
Talk down about your kid. You only want to hear the good things, right? So
yeah,
you're so nitpicky about putting it out there. You don't, because if you hear something that's wrong to you, you're like, oh, somebody else for sure going to think this. Not true at all.
100%.
Honestly, I bet. What's your favorite song? And that's a hard one, right?
That's, well, just I'm out of nowhere.
I'm going to throw one out there. And let's take a Zeppelin song. Let's say Since I've Been Loving You.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I could go all day and
Great
say
song.
That's the best song of all time. Not really.
For
my,
you. But I mean, it could be your opinion.
It's all opinionated, right? Music is so opinionated. That's what I'm getting to, though. Jimmy Page actually will tell you that that was his least favorite, one of his least favorite solos he ever put out, because he did it 100 times and couldn't just, you know, couldn't pick one.
Right, I mean?
And he, at the end of the day, the album needed to go out. He just put that down, was like, fuck it, we're going with it.
Yeah, we have to do this, you know, like the record label.
So he'll tell you it sucks ass, you know what I mean? Right, yeah, yeah. But I think it's his best thing ever. So, like, well, you as the artist got to get past yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Tip for musicians out there.
It's tricky because, you know, I don't think anybody wants to have this egotistical viewpoint of themselves, you know, but everybody does it. It's kind of like part of being a human being. And so breaking yourself away from that is kind of like prying a board out of a floor. You know, it's just, it takes time, it takes effort, and you have to do it just right, you know.
It takes experience too. It takes doing it a time or two.
Yeah.
And I don't think it happens your first year or two of playing, honestly. I had a bit of an ego as a guitarist growing up. Most guitarists do, right?
You do. You know, it comes with the territory, just like, and it's different kinds
of
egos.
Failing in front of people a couple times. It takes playing with better musicians to check your ego. You know what I mean? And it takes humility. And I think that's learned humility. At least it was for me.
Yeah, yeah. Right? You have to experience it. You can't just tell somebody, oh, well, you know, you're going to get yours. They have to go out there and feel the humility of screwing up or doing whatever in order to understand how it feels.
Right. I also say that, like, it's also an environmental thing too, man. If you're only approached by musicians who are like, I'm better than you, oh, you fucked that up, you're definitely going to get that mentality quick.
Right.
You need to be, that's why when I'm at a show, I'm sure you've seen this, you try to be a cheerleader for all the other bands, or at least I do. I really try to, A, make sure that I know their names, I know the band name, I know what band they're in.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands. But I'm listening to them. You know what I mean? I let them know, hey, man, that rocked. And I get them psyched beforehand because nobody does that for me. That's what I'd love to see. And when I did have people do that for me, I love them more for it. You know what
I mean? It makes you feel good, you know?
Right.
But it's also nice to have that person out in the crowd that's like, hey, you sound great, but hey, you know, your vocals need to come down a little bit to balance with the band or whatever, you know, whatever it might be.
You know?
Like, not criticism to make you fail, but criticism to make
critique
you better.
That's going
to
make you better, right?
Yeah.
Like, there was a guitarist I saw the other night at that show we were at. Phenomenal guitarist. Phenomenal blues-style guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
I was having trouble hearing it because she had an unconfident guitarist. Had all the reverb up to 100. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I was like, if you just turn it down to half, you know what I'm saying?
Just a small adjustment, it would sound better.
You're not a bad guitarist. It would sound tremendous. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Also,
no.
That's my opinion, too, so fuck me. Right? But
well.
She was tremendous, by the way, saying that out.
Right.
No, I
agree. I agree with that sentiment, man, because it's difficult as a musician, especially when you're on stage, to know even what you sound like out in the crowd.
Right.
Not everybody from the band can walk out to the very back of the room and know, okay, well, my guitar sounds fine because the rest of the band is playing. I can hear my guitar. You don't get that from
anybody.
Not
every crazy motherfucker in the crowd is going to hop up on stage like your boy and fix the issue. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
While you're playing.
Right. Which, I mean, if it's not your show, then it's understandable.
It's a little weird. Yeah, but it's a little weird. Well, when you're helping each other run sound, you know, it's what it is. You do what you got to do to make your boys sound good, which is, by the way, 16th show. We're doing that.
That's going to be fun.
I already told Alex, he's a sound engineer too, so he'll help on your set as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, for anybody that's listening, wanted to just promote that September 16th.
I said August 16th the other day too. I fucked it. September 16th. It's a Friday, guys. September 16th, Broadway Boat Bar, Forgiving Tree and Adam J. Feather Project. At the Broadway Boat Bar. You guys won't want to miss this awesome show. $10 at the door, and it's from 6 to 11. music by Adam J. Feather starting at 6:30. So should be a tremendous time. Going to have a great evening of music and rock and roll.
Very excited. Very excited. Got a lot of people that are interested in showing up. And we're going to be playing, my band at least is going to be playing original music off of this album that's coming out on that day. And I'm sure Forgiving Tree is also going to be playing a couple of original tunes, which I got the personal experience with a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we trained Adam to be our stand-in bassist just in case Kelly didn't get back from a flight. Because she had a flight get in for the last show, 9 a.m. day of the show. And I was sweating. I was sweating on that one. But that's okay. It worked out. And thank you, Adam, again for doing that.
Hey,
I'm always down to stand in if you ever need somebody.
Certainly. So, yeah, man. Well, I know that you're a great bassist, and you have a little experience on drums, at least.
Yeah, I do okay in a pinch, but okay. Yeah.
Oh, man.
You'd kill on drums, though. You're awesome. Bro, so tell me a little bit about the copyright process on this album. I kind of want to talk about it on this show, so you musicians out there who are thinking about putting out your first album can hear all of this. This is stuff that, A, your boy has to do, Adam has to do, and every musician out there who wants to get paid needs to do, okay? And protect your stuff. So, like...
Yeah, it's very important, and it's somewhat fresh in my mind right now because I just did all of this.
You just had to do it, you know?
But, so there's a couple of things that you really need to do as, like, a musician. And every musician out there should be doing all of these things. Most people, when they dig into it, they get really overwhelmed, and it almost like it prevents them from putting their music out because they're like, "Oh, well, I got to do this and this and this." Well, I don't know if
the money for this or this. So like,
right?
I guess I'll wait till the money's there, and then the money's not there because you're not doing this.
Right. Well, at that point, you're setting yourself up for failure by saying, "Oh, well, maybe I'll just leave the album in production for another month." You know, it's not that good that I want to copyright it. I don't want to have to send my songs off to the Library of Congress. That sounds like...
Sounds super official. Do
right.
Do all that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. But it's not hard. That's the good part about it. It takes a little time. I would plan for a whole weekend. If you just pick out a whole weekend, 2 days, don't stress yourself. 4 hours a day. You could do it all in one day if you really hustle at it. Or if you get good at it, you can do it in less than 4 hours in one day once you become a seasoned veteran at this thing. So it doesn't take a lot of time. The hardest part is just signing up for these services and knowing what to sign up for and what to put yourself onto so that you can get all of the money for your music that you're literally due to be able to put it out there. And a lot of people know about Performance Rights Organization, PRO. They've heard about it in some aspect. It's a hot button topic with musicians nowadays. Not only musicians, but also on the other side of things, venues. Most venues have to sign up for a Performance Rights Organization. So a Performance Rights Organization, in layman's terms, is just an organization that registers your music so that you get money for the music being played. And to break that down a little bit, let's say you put out your music and then you go to like a bar, or you go to a fitness center, or you go to the grocery store and you hear your song being played in that public space. You are due money for that in some way, shape, or form, because it's your money. It's your intellectual property being used, you know? And so it's something that's due to the artist. And most of the places that do that, where they play music in a public space, they also have to sign up for a Performance Rights Organization to give the artists their due cut. And so as long as the artist is signed up and the venue is signed up, you are going to get money if you're played in a grocery store. You're going to get money if somebody plays you on TouchTunes. You're going to get – and it's, you know, it's not a lot of money. For each play, this is another thing that a lot of people like, oh, well, if you go on Spotify, you only get, you know, like 0.6 of a penny for every play.
Right.
But that adds up over time. And so if you get 100,000 plays, you know, that's like $100 in your pocket,
right.
You know, or $1,000 in your pocket or whatever. And it, the more popular you get, the more money you get. So as you get more, like people like Drake, they're probably getting more than 0.6 of a penny per play because Drake gets
and his music
millions
is desired,
of plays,
you know, right.
You know, and so it works out for your benefit to be able to do that. So the other couple of things that you need to do when you're putting this out as performance rights organizations, sign up. So there's a couple of organizations. The big ones in America, in the United States, are BMI and ASCAP. There's a couple of others, but they're invite only. So, you know, if you're a beginning artist, you
stick
got
to BMI and ASCAP.
Okay. Yes, one of those two. They both have their pros and cons. It's basically up to you to decide. BMI is free if you are a solo artist. Like in my instance, it didn't cost me any money to register with BMI, and they're going to be able to give me all of my dues for signing up, because I didn't rely on anybody else to write or record or do any. I did everything myself.
Yes.
You know, and I know there's a lot of musicians out there that do it like that, where they do everything by themselves. If that's the case,
you might as well do this because you're getting all that money.
Right, exactly. In that case, personally, I would think BMI is a better choice just because it's free. ASCAP costs $50, but that's a one-time sign-up fee for ASCAP. So in the event that you have like a full band and you split $50 four ways, that's $12.50.
Mm-hmm.
That's super easy. Like, and that covers your whole band. That's the one-time fee, you know. And
right.
So if you're a band, like, for example, for Giving Tree, it might be more beneficial to sign up for ASCAP. And it just depends on what you're doing as an artist, as a
right.
musician, whether you're a solo guy, whether you're a rapper
band.
That has a producer that you bid out and get your beats from producers. It's going to be different for everybody. But BMI and ASCAP are the two in America. I unfortunately, for anybody overseas, I'm not sure. You could check with your local authorities to figure out who runs your performance rights. Like, for example, I know in England they have, like, one organization. They don't have multiple.
Right. Tell you what, if you type into the Goog, you know, what is Sweden's version of BMI or ASCAP?
Easy.
There you go, guys. Chris solved the problem. All right,
see?
Let's keep going.
Yeah. So that's number one. You can sign up for there. Now, I wouldn't say go forth and immediately register everything as soon as you sign up. So signing up for these organizations and then registering are going to be two different steps, of course.
Right.
So signing up for BMI or ASCAP is the first step.
Yeah, now you're a member. Okay, how do I register my songs?
You're a member. You go on their website, and it's pretty easy to register. Everything has a walkthrough. ASCAP and BMI both have videos that describe the process to you. I even had a little bit of questions on whenever I signed up for BMI, and they had a video. Bam. I looked up the video. 3 minutes. I figured it out. It was super easy. But the key thing is to sign up first, and then don't register your music until you are ready to put it out there.
To release it.
Okay. Yeah. And then...
Do I register it before or after release?
It depends on what you're doing. For BMI and ASCAP, you can put all of the information of the songs in and then save it so that you don't have to push them through the pipeline until you're ready.
Gotcha.
So if my release, you know, my release is going to be on the 16th, on the 16th, I will go ahead and put everything through the pipeline. As soon as it releases on Spotify, as soon as it releases on Apple Music, I'm throwing everything through the pipeline.
Okay.
It's going through BMI. It's going through also the next one that I will recommend.
This is number two, guys.
Is signing up for Mechanical Rights Organization. And you just sign up for that. So in the United States, it's called the MLC, and it has you just sign up. You don't have to do anything else. They will track anything that's produced by BMI, anything that's thrown out there by ASCAP, anything that's thrown out there by any of these other companies. They're going to keep track of it, and they're going to send you your dues. So all you have to do is put in your name, your address, you know, where they can mail the check to. If you want to do direct deposit, you can do direct deposit, put in your bank account information. And it's literally just a sign up. You can do that at any time, too. So that might even be the very first step. But, of course, researching this stuff and just figuring out what party you're in, what kind of artist you are to be able to do this stuff. Right.
Again, this is the Mechanical Rights Organization?
Yes, yes. Mechanical Rights Organization. You can Google that. In the United States, it's the MLC, Mechanical Licensing Corporate, something collective, I think, maybe. And that's actually run by the government in the United States. In the past, it was a Harry Price or something like that, Harry Fox organization, which was an independent company that did all of this mechanical licensing for people. But in 2021, the United States government set up this MLC to do that same job. So it's no longer a private corporation. Now it's the government is literally going out there and getting money for you. It's amazing, right?
It's amazing.
One of the few situations where that happens. Unlike the IRS, you know.
Okay, so we've talked, you need to register with the licensing company first, like BMI or ASCAP. Then you need to get your mechanical rights organization. Might as well. It's money. Go ahead.
MLC.
What's our third thing?
Another one is Sound Exchange. So that's going to go on to so the first two, the PRO and the MLC, is for songwriters. And so if you are the composer, if you're the songwriter, if you're the person that put pen to paper and write these lyrics down, if you're the person that got your iPhone out and typed down these lyrics or typed down this chord progression and recorded it into your phone, you're the one that's doing it. You're the one that gets
the songwriter
portion.
Yeah.
So then there's a secondary portion. It's called the artist portion. If you are in a boat like me, where I wrote and produced everything and I performed everything on my album, you are also considered an artist. You're a songwriter and you're an artist. So in the instance where, let's say, you write a song and then you submit it to somebody else to perform, they're the artist. They would be responsible for this artist half of things. For the example of, like, let's say The Forgiving Tree, I don't know exactly if you guys are all writing the songs together or if you're planning on saying, like, Chris is the one that wrote this song.
There's some that, like, I wrote alone. There's one or two that Kelly wrote alone. And then there's a couple that all three of us wrote.
Yeah.
So, you know.
So it would be dependent upon you and the band to either agree, hey, you wrote these two songs.
What percentage of this did you put in?
Yeah. That'd be something to agree upon. For example, most bands, a lot of bands out there, like for example, I think Queen. I'm pretty sure Queen, I could be wrong on this one, but I'm pretty sure they just registered all their music under Queen. You know, they registered it under the band as the artist. You know, so in that instance, the band is the one that wrote the songs. They have an agreement with each other how they're going to split the money. And so that has nothing to do with, you know, BMI or ASCAP or anything. BMI and ASCAP are just going to pay the band. And the band
is going to split it four ways.
Yes.
Or whatever they do.
Yeah. Right. So if that's what The Forgiving Tree wanted to do for, let's say, the songs that you all wrote together, totally possible. It's built into the process so that you can do that.
And it's also possible for, like, on two songs that you say Chris was the songwriter and then Forgiving Tree performed it. You know what I mean?
100%. 100%. Yes. Yes. So on the artist side of things, there are two other things that you need to do. If you're an artist, if you're the one that's performing the song and you're recording the album, and maybe somebody else wrote the song, but you're the one that's on the
recording it. Okay.
So yes. For example,
performing it on the record. Say it like that.
Like somebody, performing it on the record. Like somebody like Stevie Ray Vaughan. He covered a lot of songs. He wasn't the original artist, but his version of Little Wing is listened to X amount of times versus Jimi Hendrix's version of Little Wing is listened to Y amount of times, you know? And so, Stevie Ray Vaughan still deserves money for performing that song, even though he didn't write it, because his version is getting performed. You know, it's getting purchased or it's getting consumed by
right.
people.
And then Jimi Hendrix should get a portion of that song for being the songwriter.
100%.
Exactly.
100%. Yeah.
Which is, we're trying to explain the differences here, guys. Stick along for the ride, okay? We're getting there.
Yeah, especially if you're an artist, even if you're like a cover band, this is really important stuff as an artist. In case you wanted to perform some music and say you're like for example, there's a Garth Brooks cover band on Spotify, because Garth Brooks is not on Spotify.
Right.
And that's his deal with Amazon Music. He didn't want to be on Spotify. He didn't want, you know, whatever. It's Garth Brooks' thing. So there's a Garth Brooks cover band on Spotify that covers all of Garth Brooks' songs and puts them out there on Spotify. And they want their rights because people are listening to their version of somebody else's song.
Right.
And so it's super important for those people even to get this information, just in case they're wanting to put out music. If the Forgiving Tree wanted to cover a Jimi Hendrix song, this is the process that you would do.
Right.
You know, even if you don't write the song, you can still get money for performing it. You know, and so the artist side of things, there's Sound Exchange, and then there's a couple of other situations. That you can get to. One is SAG, AFTRA, which is like the Screenwriters Guild.
Screen Actors Guild.
Screen Actors Guild, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And some of these things, you have to have your stuff is put out there and already used. Like, let's say Bud Light uses your song for a commercial.
Then you're getting the commercial rights and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. So SAG and AFTRA would help with that. There's also a sync licensing company, which is actually really important. And not everybody has these. You don't have to have a sync licensing company. But if you're planning on getting your money or getting your songs out there to like TV shows or movies and stuff like that, they will help you get those placements. So you can go out there and do it yourself if you really put the footwork into it. But if you want to save yourself the time and the headache of reaching out to movie managers and saying, hey, I want my...
I think this would be good for this movie that you're working on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
The sync licensing guys are your guy. You know?
Yeah, they're gonna have their foot in the door to be able to pass your music off. Now, the con to that is that they work with lots of people. They might not suggest your music if it's not something that will fit to the thing.
Yeah, just like an agent, they're kind of like your agent to the commercialized music industry.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, and then
versus Taxi, where you're doing that independently, they're the middleman for you, but you still got to be putting in the requests to, hey, look at this, this is my music, it would be good for this, here's your listing, you wanted this, shit like that, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So then the next thing, outside of those optional things, is a distribution company. So this is, there's 1,000 of them out there.
Right.
These are your DistroKids, your CD Babies, your TuneCore, et cetera. I could go on and on and on. There's
right.
there's about 100 of
you
them.
You should research them multiple before you make a decision on them, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Don't go for the first one that you get, that you see, that you know, it looks shiny. Ooh, I'm going to go for that. No, this is not something that you want to do. Now, signing up doesn't take a lot of time. The thing that takes the most time is researching what is good for you.
Yeah, what you're going to get the best deal on your music with.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, for myself personally, I have a lot of music that I wanted to put out there. And so I went with DistroKid. DistroKid has unlimited releases for X amount of money a year.
Right.
I don't know what the cost is.
There's several different...
there's tiers.
Tiers to it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I went for the unlimited cost. I don't know. I think I used like a promo code from some website and got a discount even.
Nice.
You can look that stuff up. It's really
out
easy.
There.
It is out there, yes. So The distribution company is the company that's going to put something on Spotify. It's going to put it on Apple. It's going to put it on Tidal. It's going to put it on Shazam, you know? And so, as an artist, that's super important. That's what you want to sign up for, whatever company you use. I use DistroKid, for this release and probably for a couple of subsequent releases. Doesn't mean that I might not switch and use CD Baby for a release in the future, or I might use TuneCore for something 3 years down the road.
But to save yourself the hassle, that's why we're suggesting to do the research up front, so that you find something that you're really happy with. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's not impossible to hop distribution companies. That's what we want to say too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Most companies, with the distribution side of things, don't have an exclusive license, where you can't switch, but you can't register. Let's say I registered my album Bird Leaves with DistroKid, I can't take Bird Leaves and register it with CD Baby. You know, once you pick one for that album, it's there. It's the same thing with ASCAP and BMI. I could put this album out with BMI. I can't put it out with ASCAP. But a future release, I might
go to ASCAP.
Yeah, yeah. Now, those companies, ASCAP and BMI, I do want to backtrack for that. They do have an agreement where you have to use them for X amount of years, 1 year, 2 years, or whatever. So they don't have a rolling contract, whereas most distribution companies do have a rolling contract where you can sign up or you can, you know, get rid of them at any time. And so those are the four big ones: distribution company, Sound Exchange, MLC, and a performance rights organization. One that really helps, that's kind of like a fifth thing, but it's not necessary, but it will help, in the long run. It cuts some headache down for you. And most of them are either free or they don't charge a lot up front. They do take a percentage at the back end. They're called an admin publishing company. There's a bunch of them out there as well. It's just like your distribution company, where you got to make the choice of what's right for you. There's like Song Trust, TuneCore does it. CD Baby it's CD Baby Pro, I think, and they do admin as well. The one I use is Centric. They also are tied in with another company. I don't remember what they're called, Centric. Is based in the UK. They don't charge you up front, but they take more on the back end, essentially. So to start off with, you know, putting this album out here, for me personally, didn't cost that much as far as getting my rights organized. The main thing that's going to cost money, and it's something that everybody should also do, especially if you own everything. If you wrote the music, you wrote the lyrics, whatever, is copyright. Is doing the copyright with the U.S. government. But I'll get to that in just a second. I want to just describe the admin publishing company. What they do is they basically go out there and they collect money from these other sources. They kind of do the footwork. They have their finger in all these pies across the United States. So, and not only the United States, the whole world. So let's say you go on tour in Europe. If you don't have an admin publishing rights company, you would have to, every country that you go to and tour, you would have to contact their pro and say, hey, I played in this country. I played my songs. These are the songs that I played. This is where I played them at. I need my money, you know, and it might take them year or more to respond for that. And you'd have to do that for every country that you played in.
Country that you go to.
Yes, yes. Whereas if you had an admin publishing rights company, they have their fingers in all of these pros across the world already. So you can actually submit your music or your songs onto these sites and then submit your playlist. Let's say, okay, hey, I played in Germany. I played at this place. I played these 7 songs off of my album. And then they will go out and collect that money for you. They have the lines of distribution already in place. So you don't have to wait a year or two or 3 years to get money from these places. They can reach out, and I will say most places you're not going to get paid tomorrow.
No.
It's
like a SAG check. You're going to be waiting
a while. Yeah, it just doesn't that's not how the industry works. You know, you can't get paid tomorrow for it. The only place that you can do that is where the length of time is not that long is your distribution company. So like CD Baby or, you know, DistroKid or TuneCore or whatever.
Tracking of individual listens on your streaming platforms and stuff.
They keep track of that stuff, and most of those places pay out monthly. So it's still slow money, as my pops always said.
You're not waiting on a check for $6 for 6 months, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
You only wait 1 month for $6.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, as my pops always put it, slow money is no money, you know? And that is true, especially in this day's age. But this is something that, as a musician or even...
If you get into the just, like, routine of it, guys, then it's going to start accumulating. You know what I mean?
Exactly, exactly. And it's not just for musical artists either. This is for visual artists. This is for people that write plays. This is for people that work in theater. This is for any kind of artist. There are different avenues. So like, somebody that paints, you know, they're not going to sign up with the MLC, you know, because right. that's for music.
But a comedian with like 3 albums out might. You know what I'm
they might. They might. Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. So depending on what kind of art you're in, it's going to be different avenues. But all of the concepts of signing up with all of these organizations to get all your rights, it's going to be the same across any art form, anywhere.
Right.
So it's very important. It's very important because, for example, like, if you're an artist, to go back to that same artist, you're an artist and you're going out on tour in Europe and you're playing 8 different places, you're headlining, you know, all of these shows, you're opening for like Bon Jovi or whatever one night, you are due money for performing there, especially if you're performing your own music.
Right.
You know, and in some instances, this can actually be more money than you're getting from your plays on Apple or Spotify.
Right.
It could be also more money than, let's say, Bon Jovi is paying you to open for them. You know, they might pay you $2,000 to open for you, and the money that you get for performing your music and opening for them could be $5,000 or $10,000. You know, and so like, it's super important that you don't skip over this. As an artist of any sort, because you're just leaving money on the table if you do.
Yeah, it's like walking away from a poker table and leaving, and you left all the chips.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, or you only took one stack of the chips.
Like,
you know,
I just need this fiver, and you're leaving $10,000 there. What the fuck are you doing, dude?
Right. Yeah. Oh, I've got my ASCAP. That's all I need, right? Well, it's not. You know, you need all of these other situations.
That's why we're having this conversation with you guys too, okay? Because we want you musicians to be making all the bucks you can. So,
100%.
We love you. We love
That's
you.
Right.
We're here
yeah.
for you. I think we might skip over our tip section this week, though, because that was a lot. That was a lot.
That's tips right
yeah,
there.
That
you
was
know.
All tips for you.
But, yeah, I definitely want it. It's fresh in my mind, so I really want to help other musicians out there that are on the fence about producing their music, on the fence about getting out their music, or they want to get out their music, but they don't know how. Well, these are your step-by-step situations. And so to wrap up and get back, I had one thing that I wanted to mention about the copyright. U.S. copyright is that does cost extra money. So it costs money for the copyright office to process your claim to get your music listed in the Library of Congress. Once it is, though, there's no extra fees. It's in the Library of Congress forever, and it will always be associated with you as an artist. Unless you have like a situation where like you transfer rights to, let's say like you pass away and your rights transfers to your daughter or your son or whatever. In that case, you can set that up with the U.S. government as well, with the Copyright Office. So their fees right now, if you do it online, it's $65 a song Or it's a prorated amount if you register all your songs at once as an album. And so it'd be a group of published works or a group of unpublished works. And I will say their website is much trickier to navigate than any of these other situations. They're tough.
Makes
It's a
sense.
government website, you
Yeah.
know. It's they don't have an app for the Copyright Office. It's
Or the
just
Library of Congress, motherfuckers.
that's what
You
I
know what I'm
mean. You know,
saying?
it's just it's too official to make
You
it that easy. But they have all the tutorials that you need, and everything has a little question mark where you can click and say, "Oh, well, what does this mean?" You know, so if you're diligent about it and you spend your time and do the research on the copyright website, it's a breeze. You can do it. But I will say with the copyright website, you know, it's going to cost a little bit extra money. And also, this is also something that you have to wait until after it's published. So if you try to register, if you register your unpublished works, which you can do, you can pre-register your music or your comedy or your book or whatever you write. You can pre-register it, but it doesn't guarantee that your name is going, it doesn't mean that you're going to be registered when it is published. You have to make those separate steps. So if you pre-register, you still have to register. If you register unpublished works, you still have to re-register them
register.
when you publish them,
Gotcha.
you know. And so all of this, like the pre-registration, this unpublished registration, is important if you're saying, "Hey, I want to write this book. I want the book title to my name, but I haven't finished the book yet." You can pre-register
That's
that.
why you would do it, guys, so nobody
Yeah.
can steal your thing, right?
Exactly.
But before it's done.
And in copyright law all over the world, for most places, there might be some outliers in some like strange country that I'm not aware of, but in most places in the whole world, copyright is yours as soon as you set pen to paper to write, whether you're writing a book, a comedy special, an album, whatever. But if somebody else puts out something that either copies your work or sounds very similar to your work or straight up stolen out of your catalog, it's going to be really hard for you to defend yourself as an artist or as a composer or as an author if you don't register stuff with the Copyright Office.
Right.
So technically it is yours. Let's say, you know, I wrote that one song, you know, on this album 10 years ago. It's been mine for 10 years. But within the last 10 years, if anybody else had published that song,
It'd be tough to
it's tough luck.
defend
It's tough luck
because
on me because I never published it before, you know, I never registered it
look,
before. So, in those instances, the pre-registration or the unpublished registration is helpful. But if it's a situation where, like, for example, I didn't share any of my music anywhere until now, until I'm getting it out there. And the laptop that I use to write all of my stuff is not connected to the internet. So there's no chance, unless I leave my laptop at like a coffee shop, for anybody to steal any of my stuff. You know, so I felt fairly secure in not publishing or not registering it before it was published.
Right.
You know, because the chance that somebody else.
Somebody heard it, is going to use it, is slim to none, right?
Yes, 100%.
Whereas me, who's played some of these songs upteen times at clubs or recorded entire shows and posted entire shows, somebody
Yes.
might have heard that and really liked it and sat down and been like, man, I'm going to learn that on guitar.
Yeah,
You know what I'm
and
saying?
then, you know,
And then we have problems.
it's the well,
I'm talking to you, motherfucker. Hey.
unless they did,
My
unless
buddy.
they referenced you properly. You know, if they're saying, "Oh, well, this is a
This
Forgiving
is
Tree
Forgiving
song."
Tree song. Well, yeah, thank you.
In that situation, then you know, it's good. But if they're trying to pass it off as their own, that's where the problem lies.
That's when you're gonna get the doorknobs to your ankles or whatever the fuck I'm gonna have to do. You know what I mean? It's gonna be a problem.
Yeah.
The chain's gonna come out, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoop. Oh, it's already out.
The chain's
Happened.
out. Chain's been out. Oh man. But yeah, I wanted to go through all that stuff because it's fresh on my mind. I just went through all of this stuff, so I've been like just thinking about it nonstop for months and months and months. And it's something that I know will help every musician or artist or author or comedian or movie producer out there that wants to do something, it's going to help you guys. You know, so take a weekend to do the research. Take the next weekend to do all of your registration. And you're going to save yourself tons of time, tons of effort, tons of headache in the future.
You're going to feel so much more official, too. And you're going to start making in a couple extra bucks a month. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, why not?
100%.
So, dude, thank you. Thank you for laying it all out for us. And you know what? Hey, if you missed any part, you zoned out, guess what? It's recorded. You can go back and watch it again and catch what he said.
Right. Scrub it back,
you know,
a little bit.
Scrub
you know?
It back. Wait, what did Adam say? What right. do I need to do?
I know I rambled there for a little bit on a lot of stuff, but
hey,
that's...
Hey, it was all useful information that I'm going to go back and listen to a few times. While I'm doing it, I'm going to be like, okay, what do they call that?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But it's going to help. That's all it's designed to do. That's right. All I wanted to do was just help people. Because as an artist myself, you know, I've struggled to understand some of these terms. I've struggled to understand the process. And it's taken me a long time to figure out what I'm doing with it, how I'm going to do it, and then muster up the courage to be able to put all this stuff out there. And you know, it's
easier than you're telling yourself it is.
Yeah,
okay?
It looks like a mountain of, you know, terms and phrases and MLC and BMI.
I thought that was body mass index. No,
right.
No.
It's ingrained in your mind now that it's Broadcast Music Incorporated or whatever the hell it stands for, you know. But whenever you step up to the mountain, you realize it's an anthill. You know, it really is not a lot to cross. It just seems like, I mean, if you tried to kick down an anthill, it might be a little messy, but unless it's fire ants, it might kill you.
All we're saying, guys, is don't tell yourselves you can't. You know what I mean? Because we can, you can. It just takes a little bit of the footwork, and man, that's what we're trying to talk about, help you guide you through that release process, dude, and that copyright process. So, hey. You guys got what it takes to release your music. Dude, I'm so excited to hear your release of music.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
That's going to be so cool.
Hey, man.
One more time. What were we calling it?
Bird Leaves.
Bird Leaves.
Bird Leaves.
Adam J. Feather. No
yeah.
period.
Yeah, 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 exactly. There you go. You got it, man. You got it. I'm really excited about this. It's, you know, it's like my first release. So it's something to be really excited about, but it's like starting the race. Now I've released this one album, the next one's going to come really soon. The one after that is going to come really soon.
Oh,
you know?
Got to make it a yearly thing almost, dude. At least that's how I was trying to do with the jazz hop stuff. Is okay, I'm good at doing this, and I need to do it. I need to release another one by April 20th next year. That was always my release date for my other album. So
okay.
I took this last year off, and albeit, guys, I'm gonna release something again this year. We're doing it. We're doing it.
It's awesome. I didn't know that you released something, man. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, bro. Chris Hippie Davis.
YouTube?
Prefer Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right.
But that's why we had to have this copyright discussion, because your boy... is going to get paid.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, man.
We got to go get that money. You know what I'm
and
saying?
The thing also, just one last thing about this copyright stuff and this registration, all that. Most of these companies will hold your funds for up to 3 years. So you can retroactively copyright your shit. You can retroactively register with BMI. And, you know, most of these places will hold your funds. So if you wait too long,
you're gonna lose out a little bit, but come on, guys, go get the money on the table. That's what we're telling you. Okay?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they're gonna hold it on the table for you, even. You know, in most poker games, people are gonna be snatching those chips as soon as you step away. You know, and these rights organizations and these collectives—they're
really here for you guys.
They
man.
Are
trying
they are.
To help musicians out, man. Just like Adam J. Feather here, man. Thank you so
hey.
Much.
Hey, man. Well. Thank you for having me on here. I don't know if we're running close to time.
Let's wrap it up here in a second, but anything else you want to throw in there for our listeners?
Oh, man, just have fun and be yourself. You know, just get out there and put it out there. You know, that's the main thing that I think most people are afraid of doing. They're afraid of just getting out there. You know, it's a lot of what if I do this, what if I do this, what if I don't that, what if I blah, 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 blah. Stop saying what. Stop saying if, and just hop on it. You know, hop on the train.
And stop telling yourself you can't, too. I hate
it's a big
that
one.
Word.
I can't do this. I can't do that. Yeah, I mean, you and I both know that. You know, we have these students, and I'm sure you've heard that a million times. Oh, I can't do that. Yeah, you
I
can.
I tell myself that 100 times.
Yeah.
You know what? If I had kept telling myself that, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here having this conversation with you on a cool podcast. You know what I mean? Because
right. At some point, you got to drop that.
I can, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or I'm going to, you know, just haven't yet. Whatever it is.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's great. It's great, man. I'm glad that you're out there and you're doing it, because I'm waiting for that next Forgiving Tree record.
Oh, it's going to be tight. Actually, we just got enough material to do it up right, because we want to have two sides to it. I want to have, like, all the heavy stuff on one side. I want all of, like, Americana, easy, lighter stuff on the right, on the other side. So.
Okay, nice, nice. Are you going to be printing in physical?
Haven't got that far yet.
Okay. Hey, that's understandable.
You got to record it first.
Yeah. Hey, man, and if you need a hand with the recording process or any of that stuff,
I appreciate
hey,
it. I might at least need somebody to come hang out and take some photos, if nothing else. So.
There you go. Yeah, man.
Got to document that shit, bro. But
absolutely. Yeah, man.
Bird leaves. That's it. And that's coming out September 15th, guys. And you won't want to miss the album release show / party April 16th at the Broadway Boat Bar, man. That's going to be
September.
September. Fuck. And I told somebody the other day it was April 16th, too. Like,
you're like, wait, next year? This year? Nah. Well,
it was April 16th.
Last show at the Boat Bar was April 16th. So I understand. I understand where you're getting confused. It's the same date, but it's a different month. You know, and
September
and,
16th. You won't want to miss it, dude.
And Bird leaves. It's September 15th, but it's 11:59, so it's basically midnight on the 16th.
Okay.
You know, so if you go on the 15th and you're like, oh well, what the hell? It's not there.
It's not there yet.
It's midnight.
It's
midnight.
It's,
wait until midnight. It's a midnight release. Come on, man. You gotta like the first song on the record is called J.N. Cruz. You know, so. I mean, this album,
J.N. Cruz.
yeah. It's about sparking a J.N. Cruz in, you know? So,
tremendous.
So, you know, everybody just out there have fun with it, you know? That's what it's about, having fun. That's why we got into the music business, to have fun.
Yeah, to have fun, man. So have fun, release your stuff, copyright it so you get paid, check out these organizations we talked about, and have a great rest of your week, guys. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for being here again, bro.
Hey, man.
Appreciate you.
20th fist bump today.
I know. I'm good at it. That's why you do it enough till you get better. You keep practicing.
That's right. Absolutely.
All right.
Well, is that all?
That's it. We'll call it there today. Thank you guys for being here. I'll be back next week. And, go check out Bird Leaves, Adam J. Feather, Spotify, any streaming platform. Mad love and respect, everybody.